Welcome to Reflections and Wonders, Revisiting Luke's Gospel, a podcast that's just me wondering off the top of my head about Luke's Gospel for the second time in 3 years. My name is Norm Seelye, and I'm a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto, Canada. I've been a minister for over 30 years, and every year my thoughts and wonderings change. So, Monday to Friday, I'll be reading my way through Luke, even though I read through Luke in 2021. But the thing is, the world's changed. I've changed, and so I expect that my wonderings will have changed as well. I don't have notes, and I haven't checked back to see what I said 3 years ago, but I am kind of looking forward to hearing what I say now. Or more importantly, what I think God may be saying to me now. I do want to thank Drew Winters for the music and you for joining me. I will do my best to keep my wanderings between 18 and 30 minutes, but every once in a while we may go a couple minutes long. You should also know that this is an audio version of a video blog that I will have recorded 2 weeks ago. So, if you want to see what I look like when I'm wandering, well, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Just search Norm Seelye. That's Norm Seelye, S-E-L-I. Or even easier, find me on the Jubilee United Church website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And if you want to support this and other digital ministries of Jubilee United Church, well, you can make a donation through canadahelps.org. We are Jubilee United Church, the one in Ontario. So now, let's see what Luke has to say this time around. And today we're in Luke chapter 4, verses 38 to 44. That'll finish off the chapter. Yesterday, Jesus performed an exorcism in the synagogue. Kind of dramatic, kind of a big deal. And the unclean spirit actually recognized Jesus as the Holy One of God. So there was lots to wonder about yesterday. And now we wrap up the chapter with this. So here it is, Luke 4, 38 to 44. After leaving the synagogue, he entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him about her. And then he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. Immediately she got up and began to serve them. As the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various kinds of diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on each of them and cured them. Demons also came out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God!" But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Messiah. At daybreak he departed and went into a deserted place. The crowds were looking for him, and when they reached for him, they wanted to prevent him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." And so he continued proclaiming the message in the synagogues of Judea. So there you go. That's how we wrap up. We had a very dramatic exorcism sort of yesterday, you know, an unclean spirit. And now Simon, who we also know as Peter, his mother-in-law is not well. And so Jesus heals her. Not nearly as dramatic. In fact, you know, there's moments that I chuckle at the whole thing. Just, you know, Simon's mother-in-law is suffering from a fever and Jesus heals her, and she immediately got up and began to serve them. Because apparently the boys don't know how to make dinner for themselves. Poor woman just wanted to lie down and have a rest. But no, Jesus heals her so that they can all have dinner. Okay, that's not quite the way it happened. And I don't think Luke is, you know, playing into that, as funny as it may seem to me. I think that Luke is perhaps just pointing out that Jesus is also concerned about the non-dramatic events, the smaller healings. You know, I don't know about you, but I will often pray, bring God into the big things, you know, in life. But not the small ones. I handle the small ones myself. God can't be bothered with that. God's busy. I can remember people saying that when I was a kid. God's too busy, you know, dealing with with world peace to worry about your bike, Norm. So don't worry about that. You know, pray about the big things. Again, I think I can remember being a bit of a smart mouth going, well, how's God doing on world peace? Maybe God can do a better job in getting me the bike that I want. But I'm older now and more mature. And I think that what Luke is saying is that God is part of every aspect of our life, the big dramatic things and the small little things, the feeling unwell and the world peace, that God's agenda is that we should not suffer in big ways or suffer in small ways. And yes, those things will happen, but not because it's God's will, but in fact, we might find with God's help a way through a time of illness or a time of war. I think that's what we're hearing about, because it's interesting to go from the synagogue and this great big sort of event, you know, you are the Holy One of God, and there was convulsing, and now it's like Peter going like, so my mother-in-law's really not feeling well, so maybe we should be quiet, keep it down, and Jesus goes and heals her too. Jesus gives her the same attention. If I take that away from disease or from difficulty, I also recognize then that God sees all of us as important, as significant. The person of lowest means is as important to God as the one of highest means. The person who cures cancer is loved and blessed by God, and the person who's never even begun to figure out how to do any of those things and just is really kind of glad to get through the day, also loved and blessed by God. Because that's what this is, in a sense, isn't it? This is a blessing. And there's a blessing for Simon Peter's mother-in-law who just doesn't feel well and, just is happy to make dinner for the lads. That's as important as somebody who's putting on a great big show in the synagogue and calling Jesus out. What have you to do with us? All that kind of stuff. Which I think is an invitation for me to do likewise. It's not an invitation that comes to me as new. It's like, oh, yeah, you mean I should treat everybody with respect and importance? Yeah, it's not new. But it doesn't hurt to be reminded every now and again. So for me, that's part of what happens in this. And I think that Luke, you know, then sort of makes that point again by integrating those things, right? Because it says, as the sun was setting, all those who were sick with various kinds of diseases brought them to him. And he laid hands on each of them and cured them. Demons also came out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them. So there are dramatic and there are minor moments too. Not everybody has demons, right? So not every sickness is demon-oriented. There are, in Luke's vision, there are those who are possessed by demons or unclean spirits. I like that term a little bit better. And then there are those who have diseases and they're sick because we know what they are. See, for me, an unclean spirit may very much be just a thing that we don't know what it is yet. Except that in Luke, they also do speak. Well, they speak, but they don't speak. I mean, because here's how Luke says it. You know, the demons came out of many shouting, "You are the Son of God," but he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak. They just did speak. So what's really happening here? As much as I want an unclean spirit to be a disease, a sickness that we have yet to identify, for Luke, no, there definitely is a possession by some kind of force, something that he might call demonic. Whether that's a minion of Satan or whatever it is, but it is discreet. It is its own thing. That's how Luke sees it. So So I guess, you know, if I'm going to read Luke's gospel, I need to sort of embrace what Luke is seeing. So there are forces that do not want good things for people. Right? I mean, I believe that God's agenda revealed in Jesus is that we should be healed and we should be whole. Whether we have big problems or small problems, big pains, small pains, struggles, all those things. And yet there's also forces in the world who don't wish for that, who wish for calamity and discomfort, discord. And more I have to concede that that seems to be the case. I mean, there are times that I want to say, you know what, if we would just understand each other, everything would be fine. And yet, thousands of years later, that hasn't happened. You know, even though to me it is abundantly evident that we would all be better off if we simply had patience with each other. So, am I wrong about humanity, or is there another element in here? So Luke, and others since then, of course, would say, no, people may basically be basically good, but there is another element at work here. And so they would call those unclean spirits and demons. There is an element in our existence that does not want harmony, wants discord. Does not want wholeness and healing, but in fact wants the struggle and the pain and the suffering. And so, what are we to do with that? Well, if I follow Luke's example, I confront that spirit of discord, that unclean spirit, that demon, I confront it with, well, with love, with God. And I mean, I've read the books, I've seen the movies, all the great big exorcism things and fighting demons with swords. And that's not what Jesus does. Jesus simply loves the one who is suffering. And that drives out the unclean spirit, the demon, the discord. So I go back to my original premise, if we could just understand and love each other, we could get through this. But sometimes we have to do that without them loving us back. And that's the tricky one, right? We all want to negotiate some kind of agreement. I won't hurt you if you don't hurt me. I will do this thing for you if you'll do this thing for me. And we establish a status quo, and yet that's not what happened here. Jesus doesn't say to the demon, okay, so listen, if you'll just leave this poor fellow alone, I will be nice to you. I won't banish you. Jesus doesn't negotiate. Jesus loves. And even though the demon and the person possessed aren't loving Jesus back, Jesus continues that path because that's ultimately what drives the unclean spirit out, the spirit of discord, the demon. Dr. King saying you can't fight darkness with more darkness. You light a candle, right? That's sort of what goes on here. And I wonder if that's what Luke wants me to understand. Not sure, but it does say something to me. And it says something important to me when I am from time to time invited to get into holy righteous battle to fight. And I mean, like, just, you know, right, get fight for the right thing. And yet here it's not about being passive, but it's not about fighting. It's about loving actively, persistently, even imaginatively. I do wonder why he won't allow the demons to speak. It says they won't. He does not allow them to seek because they knew that he was the Messiah. Why wouldn't Jesus want that known? Why is Luke telling me the story this way? And that's when I come around to, and you've heard me say this before, that, you know, the only real learning that truly happens, that truly matters, is the learning that we do for ourselves. So the demons go around saying he's the Messiah. People go, oh, I guess it must be true because all those demons are saying it. Not only do you not necessarily want the endorsement of unclean spirits, but more than that, if people accept it based on somebody else's word, it's not really their learning. If I'm going to recognize Jesus as the Messiah, if I'm going to recognize Jesus as my primary revelation of God, I'm not going to do it because somebody shouted it at me. I'm going to do it because it makes sense to me. Over time, I have accepted that myself. So I can't make you believe what I believe. I can simply share with you what I believe. And over time, you might come to believe as I believe. Or you may take what I believe and you may add to it, modify it, change it. But you will come to your own belief and then it is yours. Because there's definitely my experience that when I cling on to somebody else's faith, there comes a time when my hand gets tired and I let go of it. I see it happen with people all the time. That's the faith that they lose. It's not their faith. It's somebody else's faith. I see that happen with those who cling on to their childhood faith, right? The things that they were taught when they were 7 years old, which made sense when they were seven. And you know, at 47, they're still holding on to those things. And then something in life happens where that seven-year-old faith is not enough to meet the need, and they find that their faith fails and that they throw it away and they've got nothing left. So many people that I run into who can be antagonistic towards my faith, towards Christianity, towards faith in general. Oh, people all believe in stupid make-believe stuff. Well, what they've done is they've rejected that faith that they had when they were 7 years old because they're no longer seven. Right? But they missed the opportunity between 7 and 47 to grow in their faith and to make their faith their own. Right? They took their parents' faith or their neighbor's faith and they took that and they went as far as they could with it until it's like, this isn't my faith. In fact, this makes no sense at all. And they throw it aside. They were never given the opportunity to grow their own faith. And I certainly have seen that as I grew up with you know, Sunday school teachers, well-meaning people who sort of had a catechism and they taught you the things and you had the exams and you had to know those things. And once you knew those things and could recite them and pass an exam, then you were properly Christian. But that wasn't my faith. That was your faith and I memorized it. I need my own faith. So, no. Don't listen to the demons. Don't take anybody else's faith, whether they're demons or saints. Don't take anyone else's faith. Find your own. If Jesus indeed is the Messiah, discover that for yourself. If Jesus is the primary revelation of God in the world, then make that so for you. Discover that for yourself. And for me, that resonates with what happens after that, because of course they keep bringing him people to heal, and he's gone. They can't find him. They do find him. They're going, well, you know, heal more people. Stay here. He goes, I can't. I have to move on. I can't stay here. I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. That is, I have to tell people that God is in the world. That's the good news of the kingdom of God, right? God is here. And that's what Jesus is meant to do. Yes, there is healing and there are exorcisms and there are a whole bunch of other things that can happen. But primarily, Jesus is meant, if I take Luke's gospel here at face value, Jesus is meant to proclaim the good news. Open people's eyes to the presence of God. The kingdom of God. Open people's eyes to the presence of God that they might find their faith as well. Not somebody else's faith. Not their parents' faith. not their neighbor's faith, find their own faith. Because that's the thing with the kingdom of God. If you are in God's presence, then you are seeing for yourself. You are wondering for yourself. You are hearing the voice of God for yourself. You go, oh, but that's chaos. If we're all hear different things. Well, there's a point at which we have to start to trust as well. If you're listening to God and I'm listening to God, and those people over there are listening to God, and then all together we may not be hearing exactly the same thing, but if we dare to share with each other and listen, we might discover, in fact, that we are in harmony. If not in unison, we're in harmony. You know what? That's a fairly short message, but I'm going to leave it there right now because I can feel me getting ready to preach it, and I don't want to do that to you. Yeah. You know what? As we go into the weekend, let's have a short day today. I think that's everything I've got to share with you right now. So let's just take a moment and pray. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you. Thank you, God, for your presence, for your voice, the voice that we hear when we dare to wonder, the presence that we feel when we are open to others and to ourselves. God, may we recognize your presence and your voice, and may we follow. May we grow in faith. We pray in Jesus' name, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that's it for me today, but I wish you a fabulous weekend. Please have a wonderful weekend, and God bless you. Please know that God knows you, sees you, loves you exactly as you are, and that God's love moves through you, but it doesn't just bring wholeness to you. God's love moves through you and helps to change the world. The way that you share God's love makes a very big difference. So thank you for being you. God bless you. We'll see you on Monday.